Now we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. If you want to be healthy, what should you do? You should make a health plan. If you want to be wealthy, what should you do? Make yourself a wealth plan. If you want to be smart, what should you do? Get yourself a smart plan. If you can't, what should you do? You should get yourself a can plan. And if you want to be spiritually healthy, you have to have a plan. So that plan should include, according to the acharyas, or great teachers, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many things take place simultaneously. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. The first thing is a cleansing of the heart. Because the sound vibration is from a different stratum, it comes from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhan, Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming down from the spiritual world, and the soul can feel it. Even if the soul's in a coma, or the soul's in the body of a tree, or a plant, or a bug, the soul can feel the holy name of the Lord. What to speak in the body of a human being, which is specifically designed to hear the Vedic sounds. And the essence of all Vedic sounds, Nikila Shruti Mali Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Parapankajanga, is the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So to obtain the highest benefit in life is a very simple process in the Kali Yuga age. It's simply to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as frequently as possible. And the recommendation is Kirtaniya Sada Hari. That means always. Always chant the holy name of the Lord. Hear the holy name of the Lord. And in that way, in our short span of life, we're just passing through this life very quickly, but we've won the lottery as far as the species go. It's very difficult to get a human form of body. You can't buy it anywhere. But it's awarded to us in due course of time by transmigration through millions and millions and millions of species of life. And we've come to this human form. And in this short amount of time, by contacting the bona fide chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that means chanting, following the footsteps of pure devotees, there's a difference in the quality of the sound vibration according to who's chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because as Sanatan Goswami has incited the verse, if someone's chanting with a different conception, in other words, that I am Krishna, or we're all Krishna, or Krishna's the same as Durga, the Krishna's the same as Ganesh, they're all the same, it doesn't make any difference. Hearing from a person chanting like that is very much different from the hearing of someone chanting who considers themselves the eternal servant of the Lord. The quality is different. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami said, don't hear that kind of chanting from someone who's not in pure devotion, who's not in the line of pure devotion. Because milk, although it is nourishing, if it's touched by the lips of a serpent, it can have a poisonous effect. So we chant the holy names of the Lord, but we do it in the association of pure devotees. And by that simple process, the heart becomes cleansed, cheto darpana marjanam, bhava baha davagni nirvapanam. There's a forest fire burning in this world. In fact, our bodies, as soon as we're born, they're burning themselves out. Every cell in the body is going through a lifespan, and our body will burn itself out eventually. And this great forest fire is burning everywhere in the material world. The only way to extinguish it is by this sankirtan, by taking shelter of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Bhava maha dava agni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrikavatar. If you want good fortune, says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you invoke all good fortune by chanting in sankirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It invokes the white lotus of good fortune in your life. It opens it up, and every good thing will come. Shreya kairava chandrikavitaranam vidya vidu jivanam. This sankirtan is the wife of transcendental knowledge. So if you are associating with sankirtan, you'll automatically have all knowledge. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayat yashu vairagyam gyanam chayar aitukam. simply by worshiping Krishna, Vasudev. Concomitant factor is knowledge and detachment from the world. It will come automatically by serving Krishna. And in chanting Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord congregationally, automatically one gets all knowledge about matter, difference between matter and spirit, and how to act properly. Vidyavidu jivanam, anandam buddhivardhanam. And one will experience the happiness that comes from the spiritual world, the bliss that comes from association with Krishna himself. There are various kinds of happiness named by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. One kind is the materialistic happiness, which is no happiness at all. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukha yona evate. Krishna says, this kind of happiness that comes from contact of the senses with their objects is the source of misery for the soul. Misery. Dukha yona eva adyantavantakonteya. It has a beginning and an end. Na teshu ramate buddha. And therefore an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in them. So material happiness is for fools. And it's a source of suffering. Another kind of happiness is the happiness of associating oneself with Brahmananda, or the impersonal Brahman. And this happiness is a kind of relief from material suffering, from the activities of the material world. One feels a sense of eternality and freedom from the activities of the material world. But there's no positive taste. That comes by association with Krishna. Samasritaye padapalava palavam mahat param punya yasho marare. Krishna is the great heroic actor. He kills the great demons like Murari. And he's the shelter of the whole universe. And when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels it. He feels the protection of Krishna. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada. He feels that his aim is the lotus feet of Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And he takes shelter there. Not in this material world, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, where every step is a step of danger. Anything can happen. There can be a misstep at any second here in the material world. But he takes shelter of Krishna. And he feels the ananda, the happiness, the bliss of associating with Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is the sum and substance of bhakti. It means to understand that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And if we offer him our love, he'll reciprocate. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Offer Krishna what? A leaf. What's the best kind of leaf to offer Krishna? Tulsi. Throughout the Shastra, you'll find thousands of shlokas from the Hari Bhakti Vilas about the glories of Tulsi Devi. Anyone who keeps Tulsi in their home, anyone who waters the Tulsi, anyone who sees Tulsi, anyone who says Tulsi, becomes benedicted by her presence. And Krishna doesn't accept any offerings without Tulsi. So we should offer Tulsi to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam. What else can you offer? A flower, fruit, water, simple things. But if you offer it with love and devotion, Krishna will accept it. He'll reciprocate. So he's far away, but he's very near as well. For the bhakta, for the person who's thinking of him in love and offering him something at every minute, offering his service, offering some food, offering some the fruit of one's work, all of these things, Krishna will accept them. And this is the source of happiness. And by chanting in Sankirtan, one revives this intelligence and this relationship with Krishna, the Anandam Buddhivardhanam, the ever-expanding ocean of bliss that we get from personally associating with Krishna, who's present in his holy names. So the chanting of Sankirtan is easy. Anyone can do it anywhere. In your home, if you invite people over, chant Sankirtan. If you go out somewhere, plan to chant so other people can hear it. And when you stay in and you're by yourself, you can chant. You can chant out loud, and you can chant also on beads. As Satyadev Prabhu was saying in his class on Saturday, it's a little more qualification to chant on beads. It takes a little more concentration. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna, how does someone who's fixed in consciousness sit and how does he walk? Well, if I'm walking around all day long going after the fruits of my work, then it'll be very hard to sit down again because my mind will still be spinning going around. If I renounce the fruits of my work, Then when I sit down, I can introspect. This is the benefit of giving up the fruit of our work, acting in karma yoga. Then we can actually concentrate a little bit and hear the holy name, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. It's very satisfying just to sit and chant, do nothing else. And if you just sit there for a while, in our we chant 16 rounds. This is a standard we've been given. Chanting 16 rounds, one thing I've found in the morning, when I start chanting, sometimes the first couple of rounds, I'm trying to find, in fact, I don't know why, but sometimes I time myself, and the first round takes much longer than the other ones. The mind becoming engaged and coordinated with the tongue and the mind, everything together, and hearing the holy name, it takes a while to warm up. So you chant one round, two round, three round, four round. After a while, you get up to six rounds. The tongue starts to feel it and be engaged. The tongue gets happy. You go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this is good. When you get the tongue going on your side, then you get some momentum. And then the mind actually becomes attracted. And the tongue's going, tasting something at six rounds. And then the mind says, well, what are you tasting? I want to taste something too. So the mind gets engaged and goes, I want something. And then the mind starts listening a little. Okay, what's in it? What's in it? What are you getting? And you can hear one name, Hare Krishna. The name Krishna, it contains all nectar. Rupa Goswami, when he chants, he says he desires to have millions of ears. You know this feeling. 2 ears are not enough. I need 1 million ears. I need 10 million ears. I can't hear it enough. It's so nice, the chanting. So if... Did the volume just go up magically? That was amazing. Hare Krishna. So chanting 16 rounds, we get up to 6 and then up to 10. And then 11, 12, the senses get controlled just by the chanting, by hearing the chanting and sitting. This is yoga. It's a very powerful kind of yoga to sit and chant. Or stay in one room and chant. Don't let the mind wander. Don't let the mind go out the window or to the computer or to other business. You'll notice it's flying all over the place. Be a yogi. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Be a yogi, Arjuna. Yogi means huge. Huge means to connect. So connect Krishna every day, at least for this time. Spend some time. Sit and chant the name of Krishna. Hear the name. All power is there within Krishna's name. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Nija sarva shaktis sarva shakti. Think about that. All of Krishna's personal energy is invested in his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How to contact everything you're looking for. It's described. Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham. Abhishta doham means your heart's desire, what you're actually looking for. Searching everywhere for something nice and never finding. You can drive down the coast of California and the mind will think, oh, this is a nice place. I could stay here and be happy. Here, I get to Pismo Beach. Pismo Beach, I could stay in Pismo Beach and I could be happy here. Now I'm in Santa Barbara. I could be happy in Santa Barbara. The mind's going like this, life after life, to every part of the universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Kone. It travels one place, next place, next place. Every place it thinks, maybe I could be happy here. 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 But there's no happiness. It never ends until one contacts Krishna. And how does one contact Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, Karabhajana Muni says, Deyam Sada, Paribhavagnam, Abhishta Doham. That this is the proper place to put your meditation. On the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is teaching this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. Deyam, Deyam Sada. Our concentration, our contemplation should go to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Deyam sada paribhavagnam. That means that paribhava, all the miseries of material life, all the embarrassment, the material body is actually an embarrassment for the soul. Because we're not of this world. We're not meant to be profaned by association with material energy. And when I chant Hare Krishna in Sankirtan, it clears that embarrassment. I realize my true nature, that I'm not part of this world, I'm not part of the body. And therefore, I begin my separation from this world. Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham. And I get my heart's desire. How important that is. Everyone's looking for some fortune. Everyone's looking for something nice. And you can actually get it from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is giving the nicest thing. It all comes from chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Someone asked me the other day, how can you prove to me that Krishna or anyone else is God? How can you prove to me that Krishna or anyone else is God? What would you say? Can you prove it? So, Sri Govindadatta is saying, if you chant his name, then you can have proof for yourself. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I said too. I said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. The perfection of religion is when you can see it for yourself. You don't need to take anybody's word for it. So if you try it yourself, the process of connecting with Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Will you see him? If you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Will you see Krishna?
We feel for sure.
You'll feel it for sure. You'll feel Krishna for sure. And you'll hear him for sure too, right? First you hear God before you see him. We see most correctly by our hearing process. So you can hear. Prabhupada describes this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chanting Hare Krishna, first thing you'll notice when you start to experience that Krishna is in his name is that this sound, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, cannot be identified with any other sound I've ever heard before. There's something about it that makes you want to dance, isn't it? When we were all sitting in here and chanting, we chanted the same tune for about 40 minutes. And I started remembering, I started feeling like I want to get up and dance. And then I started remembering Prabhupada sitting in Tompkins Square Park, chanted the same tune over and over again every day for a long time. And then people started coming, and then they started listening, and then they started dancing. There's something about the name that makes you want to dance, isn't it? And that this is the beginning of realizing Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone dances. They're relieved of the burden. There's no burden of material life. And they, out of joy, they dance to express themselves. There's something, when you say the word divine, what does that mean? It's beyond comprehension, the divine. It's beyond our experience in this world. The name of God is divine. Divine. It's transcendental. I take these words for granted, transcendental, divine, but think about what it means. It comes from the spiritual world. It's so elevated, it's so sublime that I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's greater than me, and it's so wonderful that it makes me want to dance. This is divine. So Krishna's name is divine. If someone stands on a street corner with a group and just chants over and over again the mantra, things will happen, amazing things. People will come and they'll also start to dance and they'll think, what is this name? So by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll experience it for ourselves. We'll experience the name. Japa, sitting and chanting japa, this is aesthetically very pleasing. Find your own little place that you can be alone or maybe with one or two other very serious people chanting. And do this practice every day, japa. It means to chant just loud enough so you can hear the name. It's a kind of prayer. Over and over again, you're repeating God's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We can only imagine what effect it will have. The divine name of God repeated over and over and over and over again. What will happen if you do that? There's no telling what will happen because the spiritual world's unlimited. I can't even imagine what it's like. From my position, it's like The frog goes to the Pacific Ocean away from the well, and then he comes back. Somehow he hitches a ride on the back of a bullock cart, and he goes way down to the ocean. And then he gets a ride back again, and he tells his uncle, I just saw a huge, huge, huge body of water. And his uncle says, yeah, a little bigger than our well? And he says, no, much bigger. And he says, what about 2 times bigger? And he says, no, millions of times, impossible. 10 times bigger, 50 times bigger, he can't even imagine. Each time he's saying 5 times, 10 times, he puffs himself up a little bigger to try to imagine how big it is. And then he explodes. So trying to imagine what the spiritual world is like is not possible. But one can experience it because it's coming. Golokera Prema Dhan Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming down from the spiritual world in the form of Krishna's name, in this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you make a space for yourself in time and in place every day to repeat God's divine names, sit alone and just try it. You can taste it for yourself. Hear it. Just let the sound go into your ear and hear the mantra. You don't have to imagine anything. You just have to be a yogi and sit for a while. Some yogis sit for 10,000 years. But if I try this for 10 minutes and then expand it, 20 minutes, half an hour, experiment. You have a human body. You have a human mind. The Vedas say you can do this. You can actually control your mind and senses, and you can experience this divine bliss. Nayam deho deho bhajam nriloke kashtan kama marhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam tanantam. Is it hot in here? It's too hot. Can we turn down the heat or open the doors? You got to have air. That's another thing. In yoga, you got to have air. Otherwise, you can't breathe. This verse is by whom? Who spoke this? Who knows? Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kashtan ka mamarhate vidbhujam ye. It's a heavy verse. Who spoke heavy verses in the Bhagavatam? In the fifth canto. Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva, who's he speaking to? 100 sons. Who's one of his sons? Bharat. That's who India's named after. So you should read the Bhagavatam every day. That's another thing. Yeah, know the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the sublime literature from the spiritual world. If you hear Bhagavatam, understand Bhagavatam. There's no understanding Bhagavatam. It's unknowable, not able to understand. But it's the same as chanting Hare Krishna. We'll experience Krishna through the pages of the Bhagavatam. We'll feel his presence. Lord Rishabhadeva said the following. Are you ready? Ready for this, Himanshu? Okay. Nayam deho deha bhajam nriloke kashtan kama marahati vidbhujamye. He said to his 100 sons, who are very elevated souls, don't be like pigs. Don't do what the animals do. Because sense gratification is free to the pigs. So why should you want it? It's free. Look around, he said. See. Animals get it for free, sense gratification. So don't go for this kind of happiness in this material world. So what kind of happiness? Where to find it? He says, tapo divyam, tapo. Tapa, we say austerity. It means heat. Put yourself in a divine austerity, he says. Tapo divyam. Take divine austerity. Now, how do you find out the best kind of divine austerity? It's prescribed, isn't it? I mean, some people do austerities. I've seen in Vrindavan, when we started going to Vrindavan in 1974, there was a yogi. I guess he was a yogi. I don't know what he had in mind, but he had this austerity of standing up 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. He never sat down. He had a little swing he held up, but he still... And I saw another one doing it recently. He stood there for years and years and years and years, and other people started following him. There were some other people standing up on... They never sat down. His legs became very distorted and swollen and everything. But he never sat down. But this was not a prescribed austerity. Prescribed austerity comes through the Shastra. Recommended in the age of Kali, coming through a chain of disciplic succession, we find the best kind of austerity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received from his spiritual master, Srila Ishvarapuri, who taught him a verse. And that verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nyastevana, Stevana, Steva, Gatiranyata. That in the age of Kali Yuga, the only austerity that has full potency is the chanting of a Harinam, repeating God's name, divine name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you put your full attention to this, to po divyam putraka yena sattvam, then you become purified very quickly by this divine austerity. So it is an austerity, but the reward is purification, experience of Krishna for yourself, control of all the senses, elevation to a position where you're not harassed by the material senses. Everyone's harassed by the material senses. This is the sentence of the material world. Then I'm forced to work hard. Why? To serve my senses. Because they have so many demands. Actually, I have nothing to do with the material body. I'm not a product of this material world. But because I've become associated with this body since a time immemorial, now I'm forced to work hard to satisfy my senses. So you can become free from that sentence of hard work in this material world, working hard to satisfy the senses, by divine austerity. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. You get purification. Shud yet yasmad brahma saukyam tonantam. And you attain an eternal life of happiness from the austerity. Is it worth the investment to make a space in your life to sit and chant the holy name of God? Make a space in time and chant with full attention and concentration. And see for yourself the effects of repeating God's name. Anyone can do it in any place and time. Yet sat sarvata sarvata. This is the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam says, in any time, any space, anyone, if they take this a little bit seriously, they can make great advancement in the process of spiritual life. So chant Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra. Arrange your life so that you can hear the mantra, so you can chant the mantra, and practice. Use your tongue. Use your fingers to chant on japa, and increase your kirtan in your life. And all good things will come from this purification process. All other things, simply maintaining the mind, the body, the senses, really it's a waste of time. And those who begin to advance in devotional service, they experience what's called avyarta kalatvam, which means they feel that they've wasted a lot of time in the material world, life after life, and that now they don't want to waste a second. They want to be connected continuously to the transcendental chant, to the transcendental topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, they close their senses to all kinds of other stimuli and only allow in that transcendental sound that will purify their heart. So this is recommended for this age of Kali Yuga. Anyone can take the process of chanting Hare Krishna. If you have some japa beads, you can sit every day a little bit and meditate, chant, repeat the name, and try to increase. Everything else you do, you can practice to increase. You can increase your chanting also by little practice, little practice, little practice every day. And Krishna will help. There's maximum help in the process of bhakti. Vidhunoti suritsatam, because Krishna is the best friend. He's within the heart. He'll assist and guide us, give us kinds of facility to help us break free from the bonds of this material world. Hare Krishna. Yes, any question? Sounds good, but... Rakshit Prabhu? Yeah. You have a question? Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What are some of the obstacles for the process of bhakti yoga? Any obstacle? It's just easy, right? Japa's easy, you can do it anytime, no problem. Expand unlimitedly, no problem. What's the obstacle? What is the difficulty? Vipal, we'll say, yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. While chanting, if suppose we remember some pastime of Lord Krishna, then is it recommended, or what? How to understand whether we have, whether it, the pastime has actually come to us, or are we, forcing ourselves to remember it?
Are you forcing yourself to remember it?
That's what I mean. I'm trying to understand whether, you know, if something comes in like this, then.
Well, Krishna's pastimes are also transcendental. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna and for instance, you start to remember Vrindavan, you might have been to Vrindavan and been to the Haridev temple, the first temple you should stop in before you go on Parikram, Govardhan Hill. And say you're chanting, and all of a sudden the image of the Haridev temple comes into your mind. And you start remembering Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill. It's Krishna's mercy. He's in his name, and when you're chanting, these divine images can come into your mind. And you might remember something that you heard about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam might come into your mind when you're chanting. It's transcendental. There's no static there at all. So continue chanting and remembering. From chanting, first there's chanting, then there's Shravanam, Kirtanam, then Vishnu Smaranam. So if you chant, when you chant, then you hear, right? And after you hear, then you remember. So it's natural progression. Whatever you hear about, then you'll remember. If the day before you heard from CNN, you'll chant. And then you'll think, oh, there's a war going to, we're all going to die. Or I'm going to lose all my money. Whatever you heard, that's what you're going to remember. Therefore, in the process of yoga, one's very careful about what he or she lets go into the ears. Because that you'll remember that. If you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, you'll remember those things. If you chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, then, while you're doing something else, all of a sudden the verse will come into your mind. Where did that come from? Krishna. It's divine. It's Krishna's words. It'll come back into your mind. Because of your contribution to hearing and chanting, then you'll be able to remember. And when you remember Krishna, then your life is perfect. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Krishna says, remember me. Fix your mind on me, right? Become my devotee. How do you become Krishna's devotee? What does a devotee of Krishna do?
Only serve him.
Huh? He serves Krishna, he thinks about it. What is a devotee of, what's a famous musician in India? Who's the most famous musician in India? T.R.? T.R. Rama? A.R. Rama. Okay, what does a devotee of A.R. Rama do? What do they do? Get a picture. I've never seen A.R. Rama, but if I was going to become a devotee of, is it a man or a woman? It's a man. If I was going to become a devotee of A.R. Rama, I'd go out and get a picture tonight on my way home. What else would I do if I wanted to be a devotee? Huh? Listen to his music. I get cassettes for my car. Maybe I could get a bumper sticker that says A.R. Rama. What else could I do? I get A.R. Rama soap. I could get, I paint my house the same color A.R. Rama paints his house. There's no limit to what I could do if I was a devotee of A.R. Rama. And there's no limit to what you can do if you're a devotee of Krishna. Just devote yourself to Krishna. Krishna's the best. Krishna speaks all the language of the animals, every language he knows. Krishna's the most beautiful. Himanshu.
I would like to share one topic.
Well, let's have the microphone back there. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I would like to share an incident. One of my roommates...
No, speak in the mic. There you go. Yeah.
So one of my roommates was deeply engrossed in studies, and I was doing the reading of Bhagavad Gita, and I just told him, why don't you listen to this Sanskrit shloka in... It was actually not in music form, but it was a Sanskrit shloka. And I told him, you just try it on, just listen to it, and perform your problem solving, whatever you are doing. After some time, he listened to the entire version of the Sanskrit shlokas, and he came to me, and they were really nice. I just got mesmerized. I forgot. I was feeling divine, and please tell me some more about it. So it was like he got attracted to it so much. And so I just wanted to share.
Krishna's all attractive. He's actually attractive, factually attractive. That's why we go out and chant. We chant out loud in the street, and people hear that. We have that recording of one woman who works nearby. It was recorded on that video we made about the ISV Sankirtan. And she said, I don't know what it is. I just like it. It sounds really nice. I don't know what you people are doing or what you're chanting, but it's really nice. So this is the beginning. People hear it and they think, oh, this is very nice. It becomes attractive. Yes, Vipul.
Prabhuji, I've heard in one of the conversations Prabhupada saying that that Arjuna was actually in the war.
He was actually what?
In the battlefield, yes. In the Mahabharata battlefield. So someone asked Prabhupada that how did he remember Krishna always? I mean, then Prabhupada said that in the battlefield he was actually fighting, so how will he remember? I mean, was he thinking about Krishna? So I'm not able to understand this thing. That
so what did he say?
I'm not able to remember the complete sentence, but Prabhupada said that while fighting he cannot... always think about Krishna, something like that. I mean, I cannot get the exact sentence, but if you remember, if you have come across that,
when you
while
fully
fighting,
immerse,
one is immersed in, you know, in the fighting. So how is it possible, you know, to remember Krishna?
Well, Rakshit Prabhu is pulling out a verse from the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. My prediction, and it starts with Tasmat Sarvishu Kaleshu Mamanusmara Yujacha Mayarpita Manobudhir Mami Vaishyatya Samshaya. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's 8:7, which you just recited. And Krishna says there, therefore, Arjun, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will attain me without doubt. So Prabhupada says, it's a short purport, that this instruction is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. So when one considers this, the activity can be thought about in the realm of doing. He's fighting, he's doing. But he can still be thinking of Krishna. He can still be chanting his name.
And he's doing for Krishna.
Krishna.
Krishna asked him to fight and he's fighting. Now, what if you're engaged in working? Krishna didn't ask you to work, right? Exactly. Like he asked Arjuna to fight, necessarily. But how How does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita that you can make your work transcendental? Offer the fruits of your work. So if you're working and you give up some of the fruits, what does that mean? Let's translate this. If I'm working at a job and it means I give up the fruits of my work, what does it mean specifically? We'd be specific? Huh? Okay, something to do with salary. Can I have a word that's more in tune? Salary means money. Everyone wants money. Why? Because money is what gives us any kind of leeway in this material world. It satisfies the senses. I can have a better standard of living if I have money, right? So one thing is that Krishna is maintaining us. Do you believe that? Krishna is maintaining all of us, actually. Every living entity is being maintained by Krishna anyway. So now, if I do my work and I give up some of the money that I make, I work hard, don't I? And then once I've finished my work, if I give up some of that money, is my mind attached to the money? Yes or no? Because if you say no, you kind of divvy up right now. Are you attached to it or not? Yes or no? All right. So the mind's attached to money. Otherwise, okay, now, if your mind's attached to the money and you give the money, at least some of it, to Krishna, where's your mind going to go? It'll go to Krishna. So this is a way to work in the world and at the same time meditate on Krishna. If you're working, and what are you working for? Your boss? You're working for your boss? No, you're not. Because what if you went to your boss? What's your boss's name? Ganapati. So what if you go to Ganapati on Monday and say, Ganapati? No, you come into work and Ganapati says to you, he says, Vipul, I really like your work. I like your attitude. I like the work you're doing. And from now on, you can work here for free. And the next day, Vipul will be looking in the trades for a new job, right? Because Vipul doesn't work for Ganapati. Vipul works for the money, right? Because if Ganapati says, no more money, Vipul says, okay, Ganapati, it was nice to know you, but I'm not working here anymore, right? So you don't work for the boss, you work for the money. And the money is for my senses. It's to take care of my senses. So if you give up the money and you give it to Krishna, how do you give money to Krishna? Where could you give money to Krishna? Give me an idea. Well, you can buy a temple. Okay. Yes. Seva. You buy flowers for Krishna. I know one man in Vrindavan, every year he buys all the flowers for the deities there. It's a huge expense. He sponsors all the flowers. So you could sponsor, you could say, I want to buy all the boga for Shishi Radhamana Mohan for the next year. I'll pay for it. What devotion there'll be in your work then. You're working, but you're giving up that percentage of it to buy the food that's being offered to the Lord. Won't that make you think of Krishna while you're doing your work? Yeah. And if you can give it for all kinds of preaching programs, like here at ISV, you know, we have this Bhagavad Gita that's going to motels. You donate money for that. Then your mind's going into that activity. It'll be there because the mind's attached to the fruit, to the money. So you give it to Krishna, it'll follow. If you put it here in this hundi, your mind will be in this hundi all night. And that's right at Krishna's lotus feet. You'll fall asleep thinking of the hundi. Yes, you have a question?
Yeah.
Could please pass her the microphone?
I just wanted to share a modern day battlefield experience where reciting the name of Krishna can alleviate all problems. I was in a situation where we had a very sick, dying baby who needed a breathing machine. And for that, he needed to put a tube in the baby's lungs. The anatomy of the baby's mouth was such that a couple of physicians tried and they failed passing that tube. Every time they were passing the tube, the heart rate was dropping and the baby was close to dying. I was one of the physicians in the group. The room was filled with nurses, respiratory therapists, a lot of doctors. And the only thing I could think of at that time was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. There was just nothing. It was just a vicious negative spiral this baby was in. I took the tube, put it in, the baby is fine. So this was like a battlefield. It's not, and if you are reciting Krishna's name continuously in your life, you can feel the peace and calm, and some divine power just takes over. Where man fails, he delivers. So if you're used to doing that in those distressed times, that feeling will come to you and it can take you through.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hare Krishna. It's very nice. Yes, Neelachala Chandra.
I had one very experience with my daughter. This was on 8th of October, 2008. My daughter was carrying the baby when she went for a medical examination. On that day, she's on an advanced stage of pregnancy. And suddenly, when the doctor was doing her tests, they couldn't locate the heartbeat of the baby. And my daughter suddenly, you know, kind of went into depression, and she was crying a lot, and she called me over phone. She lives in Albany. I said, just listen to Narsingha prayers and start playing the Narsingha prayers tape. Her husband was playing the tape, and they went to the doctor again. She was admitted in the hospital whole day. They could not locate the heartbeat of the baby. I said, you know, just go on. I was playing the Narsingha prayers here at home, and they were playing. They located the heartbeat next day evening at 7 p.m. And I'm blessed with a grandbaby after 10 days. You know, and I had the grandbaby's first birthday here in this same temple this October on 18th.
These are important stories. They're, as you were saying, that this is the battlefield of life. Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasyaniha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha Nartasya Chagaram Udanbati Majatonya, that we'll experience many trials and tribulations in this world, like diseases, like practically drowning. He says, but we can't be saved by our own power. He says, a person on the water who's drowning can't be saved by a boat unless the Lord sanctions it. A baby who's dying can't be saved unless the Lord sanctions it. We do our best from our side, but we have to get the sanction of the Lord, because oftentimes the best laid plans for protecting ourselves, like the Titanic, this is the famous ship that was built, that was unsinkable. And they didn't even put enough life rafts on the boat because they said, what's the use? It's an unsinkable ship. It sunk on its maiden voyage. These things, the material world's full of reverses. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking Krishna, how is it that there are reversals at every step? Everything's reversing. Only place we can take shelter is Krishna. And we must practice this, because throughout our lifetime we have this opportunity to practice. And the final change, ukramantam stitam vapi, we have to step out of this body. It's a very trying experience. And unless one has practiced in yoga throughout this lifetime, this experience cannot be done properly, or it cannot be executed properly, leaving the body. Properly means ante narayana smritihi, to remember the Lord at the time of death. It's a very difficult thing to do unless one's practiced throughout one's lifetime. So there are unlimited ways to remember Krishna. Even if you're working, you can remember Krishna by giving the fruit of your work to Krishna. And if you do, then you'll remember Krishna. Also, if you're in a society of devotees like we are here, there are so many services to perform. In fact, I have a list of services that I need devotees to do here. They're very nice services. Some of them very small. They take 10, 15 minutes a week. And I'm always looking for devotees who want to put their foot in the door and actually become involved in a very direct way. And if those devotees say, I want some service, I want some little service, we have services for everyone to do here, things that you can do. And when you do seva, when you do direct seva to Krishna, cleaning Krishna's temple, helping with all kinds of projects that have to do with our outreach programs here, there's so many there's an unlimited list. Anyone can get service if they come and ask for it. So if you get some little service also, it will help you remember Krishna, giving your time, your energy to serve Krishna, to help spread Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So we're going to have an artik ceremony now for Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. Before we do, any last question? Okay. Does everyone here have some japa beads to chant on? Who here has japa beads? Raise your hand. Okay. My suggestion is, can you show your... Somebody has some beads, you can show what they look like? This, you can carry beads. Neelachala Chandra Prabhu, he has his beads. He has a bead bag. Do you have counter beads on there?
Yeah.
Okay, there's three things. Bead bag, japa beads, and counter beads. Those three things. The counter beads... You pull one bead down every time you finish a round, when you go around on your rosary, on your japa mala, chanting Hare Krishna. You pull one bead down, then you can count how many you're doing a day, and you can make a vow to yourself of a certain number that you'll do every day. If you start that practice somewhere and then increase a little bit at a time, you'll be very firmly fixed in yoga. These beads we have available at our gift shop afterwards. You can get some beads, a bead bag, and a little counter beads. And one of the devotees can show you how to chant. We recommend this, that you have those beads. And practice a little bit every day chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So let's put away all the books and asanas as efficiently and quickly as possible. Okay. No problem. And then in a few minutes we'll have the artik ceremony. Hare Krishna.